And if you'll turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 16, Luke chapter 16, and we'll look at verses 10 through 13 as our text this morning. If you'll follow along in your Bible while I read from mine, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus giving us these verses of Scripture and the truth that we have here. Lord, I pray that you will help me to expound this truth. I pray that you will help each one to grasp its truth. Help us to apply it to our lives. Enable me by your Holy Spirit. Enable each listener by your Holy Spirit to be receptive to it. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our Lord Jesus spoke about possessions about as much as any other topic. And so the passage of Scripture that we have before us today is one of those passages about possessions, and it is indeed a very important subject. Now here we see in this text that how we view our possessions and how we manage our possessions will affect our relationship with God, and it will affect how much of true riches we will have both in this life and in the life to come. Now, I believe that the main thrust of this scripture passage this morning has to do with being faithful stewards of what God has blessed us with. Yes, God has given us all material possessions. God has given us talents and abilities. God has given us time. And the question is, are we good stewards of it? I'll explain that concept more as we get into the message. But I believe that if we are going to be good stewards of all that God has given unto us, I think the first thing we need to do is this. We need to adopt a biblical view of our earthly possessions. You know, having possessions is necessary for living in this life. You've got to have food. You've got to have clothes. You need shelter. And in fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32, that your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. But you know, it seems like some people have the idea that you've got to have more and more and more possessions, and it seems like you never have enough. They seem to adopt the philosophy of Solomon as expressed in Ecclesiastes 10, verse 12, that money answers all things. Well, you know, let me tell you what does answer all things. Jesus. You know, if you have Jesus, you have all that you need. Jesus is the answer to every problem you face. No, it's not money that's the answer to all things, but Jesus, God, our relationship to Him, that's the answer to all things. If you put God first, everything else will fall into place. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." And so I believe it's so important that if we're going to be good stewards, we first adopt a biblical and Christian view of our possessions. And as I look at verses 10 to 13, I was able to glean from these verses several viewpoints that I believe we should adopt. The first is this, that all you have belongs to God. Is that your perspective? Is it your perspective that what you have belongs to you? Or do you recognize that ultimately it all belongs to God? You know, right here in the context, in verse 1, he tells a parable of a rich man who had a steward. And Jesus goes on to talk about a steward or stewardship seven times in the first eight verses. A steward is someone who manages what belongs to someone else. And that falls right in line with this concept I'm sharing with you, that everything belongs to God. We are just stewards, managers of what God has entrusted unto us. You know, the fact that all things belong to God is brought out in Psalm 50, where it says, every animal of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. The world is mine, and all that is in it. Everything belongs to God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that you did not receive? God has given us all that we have. He has given you your life. He has given you your breath. He has given you your daily food. He has given you your possessions, your house. All that you have ultimately belongs to God. And in Colossians 1:16, it says of Jesus that all things were created by Him and for Him. Everything is for Him. It all belongs to Him, and that must be our perspective. And you know, all things belong to God, not only by virtue of creation, but also by virtue of redemption. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, or rather verse 20, Paul says, you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Your body belongs to God. All that you have belongs to God as the redeemed. You've been bought with a price. So I think the starting point is to recognize that all things belong to God, and we're just stewards of what God has placed into our hands. But another perspective about material possessions is this, that possessions can lead to sin. Twice in this text of Scripture, in the context, he talks about mammon, but he puts a word in front of it. He calls it unrighteous mammon. And what is mammon? It's an untranslated Aramaic word that refers to riches, it refers to wealth, it refers to material possessions. And the fact is that many people sin in their pursuit of riches. They may sin by stealing. They may sin by gaining possessions dishonestly. In fact, both Paul and Peter talk about dishonest gain about four or five times in Scripture. The pursuit of money has even led some to commit murder. And that is why the Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10, that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That is why God says in the Ten Commandments, you shall not covet, because to covet your neighbor's possessions and property leads to all kinds of other sins. And not only is there temptation to sin in the gaining of wealth, but also in the having of wealth. Because too often people hoard their wealth. They hold on to it. They don't give to the Lord. They don't give to those in need. And they sin even in the having of wealth. There are Too many people who have failed to receive Christ as Savior and have turned away from Him because they're afraid the Lord will cause them to give up their wealth. And the rich young ruler is just one example. And so our possessions are fraught with temptations, and we need to not be so attached to our possessions and not seek wealth so much, because to do so leads to unrighteousness and sin in our lives. But we can also become a slave of our possessions if we're not careful. Notice the last of verse 13, where Jesus says, "You cannot serve God and mammon." You cannot serve God and mammon. To serve here points to the fact that stewards were household servants. In fact, that's what the word means, a household servant. And oftentimes they were household slaves who function in this role as a steward. And so he's describing, and you got to understand the historical context, he's describing the fact that slaves oftentimes served as stewards. And he's saying that a slave cannot serve two masters. It's not that you should not serve two masters, but you cannot serve two masters there. But he implies very clearly in the last of verse 13 that if you're not serving God, then you could be serving money. You could become a slave of money. Now, how can that be the case? When have we become a slave of money in our possessions? We know some people work like a dog, work like a slave in order to pursue more and more possessions that they may gain. Let me give you another test of whether or not money has become your master. What would happen if you were to give a pretty decent, sizable amount of money to the Lord's work or to meet someone in need? Would you give cheerfully, or would you give painfully, with grief in your heart, hating to let go of those possessions? Well, if that's the case, then you have become a slave of money. And listen, money is a terrible master. You don't want money to be your master. But the Lord warns of something else about our view of possessions. And that is this, that you cannot live for both money and God. It cannot be done, he says. You can't serve both God and money. Ladies, can you imagine having two husbands at one time? How hard that would be. Have you ever been in a situation where you have two bosses at work? You've got your immediate supervisor, and then you've got a higher boss, and one is telling you one thing and the other is telling you another thing. And can you imagine how difficult it is to work in that kind of environment? Jesus says you cannot serve two masters. It cannot be done. And in the case of our relationship with God, the Bible teaches that He is our Lord. He is our Master. We are to obey Him. Our utmost devotion is to be to Him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only shall you serve." Our Lord demands our utmost devotion and obedience, and He will not accept a rival to your loyalty, a rival to your obedience. You're either serving God or you're serving money, but you cannot serve both, the Scripture says. Oh, there have been some who have tried it. Judas Iscariot wanted to follow Jesus, he thought. He wanted to join him in his kingdom, but he loved money and he betrayed his master for 30 pieces of silver. Ananias and Sapphira wanted to give to the Lord, but they also loved money and they lied about what they were giving and died right there on the spot, Acts chapter 5. Demas tried to serve God in money and the things of the world, but he couldn't do it. He forsook the Lord in pursuit of the things of this world. You cannot serve God and money both. You need to make up your minds. Who is your Lord? Is it God or is it money and material things of life? You can't have it both ways. Nor can we compartmentalize our lives where we say, well, God, Sunday is your day. I'll give myself to you on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, those days are mine. No, it doesn't work that way. We are to live for the Lord 7 days a week. Or someone may say, well, you know, Lord, I'll give you a tithe or some lesser amount, but the rest of it's mine to do with as I please. No. It doesn't work that way. You are steward of all your possessions, not just what you give to the Lord, but all of your possessions, as we will see this morning. And so I think it's so important that if we're going to be good and faithful stewards of what God has given unto us, we must adopt a biblical view of earthly possessions. But the other thing we see in this text is this, that we've got to be faithful with these possessions as good stewards. We need to be faithful stewards of what belongs to God. And I want to share what we see here about being faithful. Again, in verses 1 and 8, we see that we are to be stewards. We are to be managers of what God has blessed us with. And in verse 9, he gives one example of good stewardship. He says in verse 9, take what God has blessed you and make friends with the kingdom of God. Make friends. That's good stewardship. And one thing about stewardship is this, that we are to be faithful in our stewardship. Faithful in our stewardship. What does it mean to be faithful? Well, let me ask you this. If you were to entrust someone with your investments and your property and your money, what is one characteristic that you want more than anything else? Honesty, faithfulness, trustworthiness. That is what is most important. Most important is trustworthiness, faithfulness. That you be found faithful. Are you faithful? Can God count on you to do what He's calling upon you to do, to manage properly what He has given you? Let me give you one example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 2, it says, let each one of you on the first day of the week lay by him in store as God has prospered him. On the first day of the week, he says, every Lord's day, giving as the Lord has prospered him. Giving as God has prospered him. And that is what stewardship is about, is giving as God has prospered him. Can God count on you to give regularly, faithfully, as it says there? Can God count on you to be good stewards of your time, to give unto the Lord what is due unto him of your time? Can God count on you to be faithful, to use the talents and abilities that God has given to you unto Him. That is what is so important. Are you faithful in your stewardship? Stewardship also means not being wasteful with what God has blessed you with. You know, I can think of some examples where people just absolutely waste their money on a regular basis. Spending it on things that are wasteful, whether it's, yeah, all right, the lottery, the vast majority of people lose far more than they'll ever gain, And a lot of other examples of just being wasteful. It's not good stewardship. Well, why should we be faithful stewards then? Well, we see one reason right here on the screen. Faithfulness in few possessions results in being entrusted with more possessions. Look at verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. If you are not faithful in the small amount, then who is going to trust you with more amounts of money? If you are not faithful in small responsibilities that someone has assigned to you, who is going to trust you with more responsibilities in the future? And that's what Jesus is talking about here. You see, our possessions are a test of our character. And that's one reason possessions exist. That's one reason we have this life, is to test our character and to develop our character. Now, let's say you were to come up to me and say, Pastor Steve, I really need to borrow $10. You know, I need some gas money, and I'll pay you back when I get paid. Okay, have you heard this? Okay, and so sure, generous soul that I am, I'll give you $10. I'll loan you $10. And guess what happens when payday comes? Never see a sign of it. No, the money never comes back to me, okay? And so a month or two later, you come, Pastor Steve, I appreciate what you did for me before, but man, I'm in a bind right now, and I need $100. I'll pay you back when I get paid. Well, you know what? If you weren't faithful in the small amount, then why do you think you're going to be faithful with the large amount? It ain't going to happen. And we've all loaned money to people, and they've proven their character with a small amount, and then they come back and think that you're just going to, do it the next time. When they say, I'll pay you back when I know it's a case of impoverishment, I'm not going to loan it. I'm going to give it to you, because I don't want to make a liar out of you, right? So let's just be honest understand the situation there. And by the way, the Bible says he who borrows and does not repay, that's in the book of Proverbs. Doesn't speak well of a person's character who doesn't do that. And so if you're faithful in small things, then the Lord will entrust you with more things. We just had a Lottie Moon goal of $20,000, and we didn't reach that goal. Thankful for every dollar that was given. And I know there's a lot of us that would have liked to have given more. Would you like to give more to the Lord's work? Well, let me tell you how you can give more. Be faithful in what you do have. And you show God that you'll be faithful with the small amount, and God is much more likely to give you more to be able to give down the road. I became a pastor of a mission church in Dallas, Texas, and my starting salary was $500 a month. and I certainly appreciated that. Cheryl and I got married and lived on $500 a month to start with. And, you know, as I have been faithful to give unto the Lord, my dad taught me to tithe, and I started tithing when I was my first grocery job, and I've been tithing ever since, no matter how much or how little I've always made. And God has always blessed and enabled me, as I've been faithful to Him, to have more and more and more to give. To where now, what Cheryl and I give well exceeds what we made starting out in that first church where I was pastor. And so faithfulness in few possessions results in being entrusted with more possessions. Secondly, faithful stewardship will result in receiving true riches. Verse 11, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful when it comes to money, when it comes to earthly possessions, who is going to entrust you with true riches? Do you see a contrast there? That earthly riches are not true riches. Can money buy you love? Can money buy you peace and a clear conscience? Can money give you an entrance to heaven? Is money something that you can keep and hold on to after you die? No. Money is not true riches. If you want true riches, like what? To be loved. To have joy of the Lord. To have peace in your soul and a clear conscience. To know Christ and the riches of His grace. To have eternal life. To have an eternal inheritance from the Lord. These are true riches. And again, Jesus says, if you're not faithful in unrighteous mammon, who is going to commit to you the true riches? Yes, we have true riches in Christ. Romans 8:17 says we're joint heirs with Christ. All that He has, we share as an inheritance. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, we see there that we have been born again unto an inheritance that is uncorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so if you're not faithful in being a good steward of earthly riches, who's going to give you true riches? Finally, we should be a faithful steward because faithful stewardship results in receiving what becomes your own. Look at what Jesus says in verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If you have not been faithful in what belongs to another, in our case, what belongs to God, then how do you expect that someday God is going to give you something that you will possess of your own? Not just in this life, but also forever. What are you living for? I wish I could ask every person, what are you living for? Are you living for earthly riches that do not last? Or are you living for spiritual and heavenly riches that will never be taken away from you? Are you living for true riches or heavenly riches? I think Paul puts it in perspective in 2 Corinthians 4:18. while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now let's think about it for a moment. Which is better, to have something for what is a blip in eternity, or to have something for all eternity? Obviously, that which lasts forever is far, far more valuable. You know, here's our problem. What is close at hand can obscure something much larger that is distant from us. For example, I could take a dime. It's so small, but if I put that dime in front of my eye, it can obscure the moon. And I'm afraid that so many people have their eyes on earthly things that don't last, and these things obscure what does last forever, and that's heavenly riches. If you want to have as your own what are true riches that will be yours forever, then you must be a good steward of what you have now, your possessions, your time, your talents and abilities. May we all be found faithful stewards of what God has blessed us with. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this teaching of Jesus. Lord, help us to have a proper biblical view of our possessions. Yes, possessions are nice to have. They make our lives more comfortable. But Lord, help us to view them as you would have us to view them. That help us to see what are the true riches. And help us to seek after the true riches and will be ours forever. Help us to be good stewards of all that you give us. Help us to be faithful. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we have this opportunity.